Okay, we're going to need $35 a piece from each of y'all, and we'll get, I'm just kidding. Hey, somebody help us get them a piece of paper. Brother Chip, can you see about getting us some extra? And there's three down here, three that need them down here. All right, four, make that four. I see four. Anybody else? Five. Anybody else? All right. All right, hold on just a second. Jesse, come be a microphone runner. I can't hear. I don't know what's going on in my ears. Y'all pray for me. I don't know if they just close up. Miss Lucy over there. I don't know if they just close up. Sometimes happens when my wife talks, but it normally doesn't happen when everybody else does. All right.
Okay. Landon had a four-wheeler accident probably about an hour ago.
And okay.
He said the hospital, they were having to put him to sleep just to set his arm, but they think it's broken two places. So, but no other injuries. He just hit a tree head on, and, you know, of course, that kind of nerves.
I'd teach that boy how to drive.
I know. That ought to teach him.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know how I feel about motorcycles. But anyway, I won't get into that. But anyway, if y'all pray for him.
Yeah, don't get into that. All right.
Y'all just pray for him. That's all I'm
going to
say.
All right. Y'all pray for Landon. And listen here. These boys, they need scars. I need somebody to help me. And scars build character. And there's something to brag on. There's something that the girls dig, too. I mean, do I now? Yeah, he's going to have all kind of signatures. He'll meet all kind of new girls having his cast signed, all right? And anyhow, and how old is he? He's 14. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll be married by the time he gets through this thing. All right. And anyhow, I've had my share of accidents on a motorcycle. I jumped one and landed in a pump house one time. And anyhow, so I have had several. I got scars all over my legs from motorcycles and exhaust pipes and all the good stuff, all right? Do I now? I can't hear what she said. Oh, yeah, I need it. I need it, definitely. I need it, all right. I didn't know. I thought she was cussing me there for a minute. I couldn't hear, all right? I'm telling y'all, you never know, all right? All right, so let's go over some of this and get us to where we are. Now, once again, we're going to practice some of this tonight, all right? So the visitors that have come, we're going to get to know you tonight, hopefully, all right? What we're doing and what we have been doing for those that maybe hadn't been involved in this is we're learning how to share our faith. This is a Share My Faith workshop. What we're trying to do is we're trying to teach you, how to share your faith, how to systematically share your faith. Now, for some people, they say, well, I just don't want to do that. I think it ought to be Holy Spirit-led. We agree 100%, all right? But we're trying to help you to basically begin a conversation that leads to an opportunity to share your faith, all right? Now, y'all remember them ugly things that Brother Malcolm had with the red, and he had his story on it? Check these out. These are the new ones. They're a little bit designed a little bit different. This is mine, personally, and it's got my testimony written out on the thing. And I showed Brother Philip, I was showing you this morning, Brother Malcolm's, but this one's mine. And anyhow, on the inside, it's the same thing as what you've seen, just in different colors. And anyhow, I thought it was pretty cool, kind of matches our church colors. But anyhow, this is something that we want to get you and eventually get in your hands, all right? Now, the reason that we don't just jump out there and start doing this thing is because the purpose of this isn't just to be a tract that we hand out to somebody, all right? We want to make those conversations, and we want to have those conversations, and we want to share our faith, our testimony. Not just leave these laying around somewhere for somebody to pick up, throw in the trash, or do something with, okay? Is everybody with me? I was listening to Brother Malcolm and their group, and they were talking in one of their segments. They were talking about one of his staff members said that he was a manager at a local restaurant. And he said that when these things were left on the toilets, and you know, remember how we used to leave tracks all over the place, right? He was saying that when stuff like this is left out, their restaurant, if inspected, gets docked. Basically, they look at this negatively to have trash and stuff like that. That's what they consider it. So a lot of the restaurant owners, and he said it from his own personal experience, he absolutely despised when somebody would leave stuff in there because it could be negative on their business. So they were taught to just pick it up and throw it in the trash. So a lot of these things, you know, we think we're doing something by handing out something or leaving something there. People are just throwing them away, and they're being taught to, especially in the restaurants and different things like that. So while this is a tool, okay, it is not a tool just to be used in place of our responsibility to share our faith. Brother Chip, down right here on the second row, brother, we got some folks that need them, and thank you. I appreciate you doing that, all right? And so we're working on sharing our faith. All right, Miranda's fixing to beat a kid. All right, I've seen that look before. All right, now, we're working on the three parts, the full circle of evangelism. The full circle of evangelism, number one, is what? Prayer, all right? We have to start off with prayer. When does evangelism begin? Not salvation. That's a good one though. We should, because we're witnesses. But when does it begin in the day? At home. Who said it? Praise the Lord. Brother Robert said it. All right. It starts at home. All right. Prayer. It starts at home. Before we ever go out, evangelism starts the day in prayer at home before we walk out the door. All right. We're praying for two things. Okay. What are we praying for? Filling of the Holy Spirit. I was waiting on somebody to say Bob, all right? Y'all have got that. Me and Dalton was talking about it this week. Dalton said, Dad, we need to have some shirts made up that said, I prayed for Bob this morning. And I thought that'd be pretty cool, all right? only people in our church would know what was going on with that, all right? The filling of the Holy Spirit. Because we need the filling of the Holy Spirit, or we are not going to be effective witnesses, all right? So to get the filling of the Holy Spirit, what do we need? In our prayer for the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's two parts. And what are those two parts? Confession of sin, confession and forgiveness, right? And then what else? Complete submission. Y'all reading off the board, ain't you? All right. And anyhow, hey, listen, it's okay. We're going to keep doing this until we memorize it, all right? Say amen. All right, we'll keep doing it until we memorize, all right? So not only are we praying for confession, and not only are we getting right with people in forgiveness, but we're also praying in complete submission. That means, God, whatever you'd have me to do, that's what I'm going to do, all right? Now, is that needed? Yeah, how many times have y'all helped? How many times the Holy Spirit kind of nudged you to go talk to somebody, and you didn't, and then it bothered you for like 3 or 4 days? Right? All right. So do we need this complete submission in prayer? Absolutely. I mean, we need this part of it big time, because you know what? If we pray for a burden, which is praying for who? Bob. If we pray for a burden, we pray for the opportunity, and we pray for boldness, then we're going to have to be completely submitted to Christ to go out and finish that, okay? Because why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to give us the opportunity. If we pray for the opportunity, the Holy Spirit will give us the opportunity. So we're praying for Bob. A burden for the lost. How many of you have been praying for a burden for the lost? All right, praise the Lord. All right, now listen, we're going to look at this tonight. I want to challenge us, okay, tonight. The challenge is this. We've heard about praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We've heard about praying for Bob. Tonight, the challenge is to do it. Okay? And we're going to do that Brother Malcolm recommended a 21-day challenge. And he said the reason being is that it takes 21 days to develop a habit. All right? So we're going to do a 21-day challenge. Everybody in here, all right? Even visitors. Y'all got roped in, all right? Now, even the visitors, we're going to take a 21-day challenge, and the challenge is to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit every single morning, and we're going to pray for, say it with me, Bob, all right? Everybody say Bob. Bob, all right? We're going to pray for Bob, which is a burden, an opportunity, and the boldness to follow through, all right? Now, say, preacher, but I ain't got my piece of paper yet. I can't do this yet. Yes, you can, all right? Now, we're going to talk about that in just a few moments, but right now we're talking about sharing, all right? Pray for a list of prospects. Michelle said, don't forget to pray for your prospects, all right? Now, let's move on to care, okay? So, we're going to the care portion of this thing, all right? There were some recommendations that we had for prayers, these keys to remember. Number one, take genuine interest. Number two, we're going to smile. Number three, we're going to use the other person's name, all right? Hey, listen, remember what I told you about how people get so excited when you use their name? I messed up on James's name this morning, all right? But let me tell you something. When I nailed Judah, which was his oldest son, this is what his son did. Yes! That's what he did, standing right there. I messed up. I called him Josh, and it was James. And I had Amanda, all right? And then I knew Judah, Jeremiah, Faith, and Sarah. But when I said Judah, he said, yes! Like that right there, all right? And when I said Jeremiah, he had this big old smile, and Faith and Sarah, they were just like doing their own thing. All right, but anyhow, those two boys shows what it means when you actually remember somebody's name. All right, now, how are we going to remember their name? We're going to have to repeat it over and over and over and over again until we get their name. All right, is it easy? No. Listen to me. Everybody tells me all the time, man, I wish I could remember names like you can. I can't. I struggle with it, all right? I have to say, I'm telling you, I'm no different than you. I have to repeat the name. I have to hear it over and over again. Now, listen, let me help you with something. Don't be afraid to ask somebody their name. I mean that. Even if they've already told you their name and everything else, look here, they know how it goes. All right, but if you'll commit that thing and work at it using their name over and over again in that conversation, it'll help you to remember that name, all right? Talk in terms of the other person's interests, all right? And we're real good about telling what we are interested in about that, all right? But take a look and try to figure out what they might be interested in, all right? How can we do this? Somebody help me. Pay attention, all right? Well, how can we do it? Ask questions, that's good. But we can just observe, too. Just observe. See, just look. You can look at somebody, talk to somebody for a few moments, look at their vehicle. I mean, there's all kind of ways for you to determine what their interests are. People are, hey, listen, we like to let you know what we're interested in. Right? You got to pay attention, all right? One of the things, I'm wearing a Callaway shirt. Okay? My man's wearing a leather vest. Motorcycles, all right? I mean, there's things that we can decipher just by looking at somebody, paying a little bit of attention to them, seeing maybe their truck or whatever. They might have something on there. They'll have stickers for everything. Our members, they have stickers for everything in the world on their truck, but a Calvary sticker. My daughter-in-law won't put a Calvary sticker on her car because she wants to be able to cuss people out and shoot people birds. That's what Lauren just did. Like, well, he ain't lying. All right, so anyhow, for any of y'all get all happy about it, y'all ain't got them on there either. Man, that's one thing that I told Michelle when we were in North Augusta. Every car that come by us had a victory sticker on the back of it. That's a testimony. I need somebody to help me. Travis Norris, a good friend of mine and many of yours. But I notice every choice sticker on vehicles. Right? It's a testimony. Man sells a lot of vehicles in our county, in our community, all right? And you know that because it's on there, all right? So now that y'all all know, get you a sticker and put it on your stinking car and quit cussing people out and shooting them birds. All right, now, show appreciation and do it sincerely. If there's an opportunity there for you to be kind to them, be kind to them. Now, let me go ahead and start. I'm going to say something right here that's going to hurt somebody's feelings, all right? If you go out and you eat somewhere, tip them good, especially if you are going to profess to be a Christian. I need somebody to help me. Quit that mentality you have for your tithe giving. And be generous to them, all right? And, hey, it's all right. How many of you know it's all right to give more than 15%? All right? Yes. Okay. Okay. Right. All right. Okay. So be nice to them is what we're trying to say. All right. And so let me encourage you. Go ahead. Every now and then splurge and give them the bill. Y'all help me now. And man, you want to talk about being a blessing. You can be a blessing to somebody by just tipping them. And they'll remember it. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this. I don't ever walk into a restaurant and have the servers not want to serve me. If I walk into a restaurant, hey, you come sit over here at my table. All right? Why? I've just taken that. I'm going to go out there. They're going to get at least 20%, probably 25 to 30% of what I paid in the bill. It's a way for you to be a testimony to them, all right? Listen here, don't be that person that gets all upset because somebody didn't do you right, because we can go back in your life and see many times you didn't do somebody else right. All right, let me go on. All right, now we get to the share. We're getting to the share process, all right? Now, we got the acronym of SHARE, all right? And this is where the rubber meets the road, all right? So don't put these up there, Miss Michelle. Don't do it. Don't look at your paper. Unless you just got a paper tonight, then you got a paper tonight, you can look at your paper all you want to, all right? But if you ain't got, if you've had a paper, look here, quit trying to memorize it real quick. Quit trying it. Remember, we're trying to get a hold of this, all right? So we're going to take this thing from the top. S is going to be what? Secular life, all right? So we want to talk in terms of, hey, hello, what's your name? All right, just simple stuff. Are you from here? All right. Do you live in the area? All right. I ask these questions all the time to visitors that come. I ask one of the first things that I generally ask somebody on a Sunday morning when I meet with them, I ask them their name. I ask them, are they local or are they from here? Are you from Valdosta or are you from Lake Park? And that'll tell me a lot. Some of them say, and I'll tell you this, most of the time they're going to tell me where they live. So they say, I live here in Lake Park. I live right over here behind, you know, whatever. And they go ahead and tell me wherever they're living at, okay? Or they will share it. So these are ways of you to start a conversation. And remember, this conversation ain't about you. Stay with me. It's not about you, all right? Now, I know we want it to be about us, but we're showing that we care, right? And the way that we show that we care is to listen to somebody else. So we talk to them about their secular life, all right? And then we get to H, and it is their home life, all right? We want to talk about their home life. Hey, you got any children? Yes. You have any grandchildren? She says, no, I do. I've got two grandchildren. Y'all want to see them? Is everybody all right? So we're making this conversation, and once again, we want them to talk. It's their time. Most people won't listen. So to have somebody that actually listened to them is a great blessing, all right? So we're going to talk about secular life, and in that we're just going to introduce ourselves. We're going to get their name. We're going to ask simple questions about maybe where do you live, or not necessarily where do you live, but are you from around here, all right? I wouldn't ask anybody where they live right off of the bat, all right? It kind of gets weird, okay? So anyhow, the preacher can get away with it, but you probably ain't, all right? Now, so the secular life, home life, do you have any children, all right? Do you have any grandchildren? Be careful asking that question, all right? Some people get real upset about their age, okay? And the fact is that I didn't like the fact that I was going to be a grandpa at 42. And then Josh Altman, he's going to be a grandpa. He's like 38. So, he's really got problems. All right. So, y'all pray for him. All right. Now, so secular life, home life, then A, attitude. And this is one of those places where we may even possibly get an opportunity right here in this portion to lead right into our testimony. All right. Why? Because people are going through difficult times. All right. I put over $100 in my truck today and didn't even get, I think 24 gallons in my truck, I hold 32. Mamas are out there needing baby formula. I mean, people are needing groceries and having a hard time finding them. Y'all help me right here. People are, there's things that are going on. All right. So when we ask them about their attitude, how are you doing today? All right. Be ready. Because if they feel like, if they're comfortable with you, they may just go ahead and lay it all out there. It's been a difficult time, all right? So we want to deal with the secular life, our home life, our attitude, or their attitudes, all right? And then we're going to start the transition, and we are going to R, which is their religious life, all right? We want to know, all right? We're not backing anybody in the corner. And we don't want to offend anybody. So we're going to ask a question like this. Do you get to go to church anywhere? Okay. All right. This is going to open up the door. All right. We're moving away from the secular part into a more religious conversation. All right. Now, be careful, because a lot of people, they got a defense mechanism when it comes to talking about religion, right? Because they probably had that Bible salesman that come up to their door and say, if you were to die right now, where are you going to go, all right? So they may even have been church hurt or whatever. I was talking to Brother Malcolm, and he was sharing somebody that he talked to that was church hurt. I think I shared this with y'all. And he said basically that they'd been hurt in church, and what do you do with that? And Brother Malcolm said, I told him, so have I. And if you know his testimony, you know that Brother Malcolm grew up in church. His daddy was a pastor. All right? He's a pastor. But him, as well as us, all has at some point been hurt by somebody that we look to as a religious leader or religious organization. All right? So their religious life. And this is going to lead to E. Eternal life, all right? So this is going to lead to our opportunity to share our testimony. That's my granddaughter over there, all right? So our opportunity to share our testimony, we're going to ask them for how long? 60 seconds. 1 minute. Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. 1 minute. Everybody all right? I say this, and I hesitate right here, because y'all always say, hey, you got a minute? And your minute's never a minute. Does everybody know what a 1 minute is? It is 60 seconds. 60 seconds to tell your testimony. All right? For the ladies, that means that you can probably get in 1,000 words. For the men, we're looking more along the line of 250 to 300. Y'all stay with me. I'm just having fun with y'all. Y'all pointing at men. Pointing at her husband. Him. He talks more than I do, all right? So, but we want to share this in three different ways, all right? We want to share our life before Christ, right? Talk to me, y'all. Come on now. Wake up. Our life before Christ. We want 20 seconds of our life before Christ, all right? We want to use general adjectives. Okay, we're not telling our whole life story. Listen to me. You're not telling your whole life story. You're not going to get an opportunity to sit with a stranger. Chances are you're not going to have the opportunity to sit with a stranger and give them 30 minutes of your testimony. All right. You may get to do that with somebody that's reached out to you. You may get to do that with somebody you know. You may get to do that with family, but you are not going to do that with a stranger, okay? Everybody look at me. Is everybody, you agree with that or not? All right, so 1 minute, that's all we get, all right? That's all we want, and all we're trying to do is get them to see our life before Christ, how we came to Christ, all right? How do we say we came to Christ? Somebody help me. A message. Who said it? I'm proud of you. Whoever said it, all right? A message. That's it. All right? I don't need no elaborate how you got, lifted out of your bed and carried over to this and all that. We don't need all of that. This is what we need. All right? I heard a message. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Don't make it about us. It's about Him. We all heard a message. Y'all help me, right? We all heard a message. We all came to Christ differently. How many of you got saved in the church? Anybody got saved at home? All right, praise God. How many of you got saved maybe at camp? My granddaughter's raising her hand. I got saved at camp. You got saved at camp? I say what? Amen. Amen. What you going to say? In Sheldon's office, she got saved. All right. Anybody else? Got saved in a weird spot? Prison. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, God shows up in the prisons. All right. I have led a many to salvation in the prisons. All right. Y'all help me. Anybody else got us this somewhere? The hospital. I was there. Hey, all right. I had the privilege of leaving Miss Karen to the Lord in the hospital. And anybody else? Oh. That's right, in the fellowship hall. I remember yours too, January 29th, 2012. All right, anybody else? Y'all don't all speak at one time, all right? It's okay. A swimming pool? Well, there you go. I mean, it don't get, we've all got a different place. We all got a different story, but it's all the same story. We got saved because we heard a message, whether we was in a swimming pool, a hospital, a prison, a fellowship hall, a Bible study, Sheldon's office, our home, or in the church. We all heard a message. Okay? Now, you heard a message. You might have got saved in Sheldon's Sunday school class, but you heard a message and you heard the gospel at a Bible college. How about that? All right? And so does everybody see how this thing goes? What are we trying to bring out in this? There was a message. That message is the gospel. That gospel is the power of God unto salvation. All right? So, how I came to Christ. We all came to Christ by a message. All right? Now, what's the last portion of that? How my life changed. My life after Christ. All right? Now, a good way to do this is if you used adjectives in the beginning of your life before Christ, we ought to change them. All right? Here's what you don't want. Man, before Christ, I was sad. And man, my life was a struggle. And then I heard a message. And Jesus saved me. And my life is sad. And it is a struggle. Is everybody all right? We're changing that, all right? And so, your life after Christ, it should be opposite of what it was before. Maybe you had no joy, you had no peace, you had fear. But once you were saved, you no longer were afraid. You had peace with God. You had joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know you had to finish that out, all right? And so anyhow, we want to change those up, all right? We want to make sure that we show that our life after Christ got better, all right? And remember, I told y'all this before. We tend to focus all of our attention on our life before Christ. When we want to tell somebody our story, we spend an hour telling them about how bad we were. And then we say, I heard a message and Jesus saved me. And man, it's been good. You spend an hour talking about how bad you were. How about spend an hour telling me how many things God has done for you? All right? And so, listen, if we can't convince somebody that Christ is life-changing, they're not going to want their life messed with. Okay? All right. So we have some, and I don't think, Miss Michelle, I don't think we printed these out. I had this Wednesday night, and we didn't go over it. But we want you to write out your testimony. Some of you has already done this because when we started discipleship, y'all hold on a minute. What? Welcome Center. These. Okay. All right. So these are tips and guidelines about writing your testimony. We want to get it to 500 characters or less. Okay? 500 characters. I thought that was words. 500 words. We were looking at this wrong. So it's 500 words is basically or less. Now, I did my testimony. How many of y'all see this? Y'all see my testimony on there? Y'all see what it's written out right there? That's 360 words, just to let you know, all right? So if you start thinking, man, I'm going to need to have 2,000 words, it ain't going to fit, okay? All right? So you can see mine's 300, and I think it's 368 words on this piece of paper, all right? So when you're writing out your testimony, we want to keep it short, concise, and it should take 60 seconds to tell it, all right? Not an hour and a half, 60 seconds, all right? So you have, it's got tips and guidelines on here, have an attention-grabbing opener, include the major turning point in your spiritual journey. Your story should have three parts: before the turning point, how the turning point took place, and after the turning point. And of course, that was what my life was like before I was a believer, how I became a believer, and how Jesus has changed my life. Number four, be realistic. Do not imply that Christ removes all of life's problems. How many of you know the Christian life is not a bed of roses? Right? Speak clearly about Jesus. He is the main focus. What not to do. Do not make statements that reflect negatively on churches, organizations, or people. You have to be careful with this. Now, if you know my testimony, you know that I didn't like church. All right? But you have to be careful in how you're doing that. You can't just be ugly and be bitter about it. All right? We're trying to get people to see their need for Christ, and if they see their need for Christ, there is a need for the church. All right, avoid mentioning denominations or churches by name. Don't listen. This ain't college class. This ain't you tearing down religions. I need somebody to help me. Avoid sounding like a preacher. Do not use vague terms as joyful, peaceful, happy, or changed without explaining them. Avoid using biblical or religious words such as saved, converted, convicted, or sin without clarifying what you mean. Not everybody's been around church. All right? So, you don't want to tell them, man, I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They're going to look at you if they've never been in church and be like, man, you're a psycho. Is everybody hearing me? So, we don't want to use church terms, all right? Man, I was regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And now I walk in the Spirit. Sounds like you've been in the spirits. Is everybody with me? They don't understand that, all right? So, let's be careful to avoid biblical and religious words, though you may know what it means and have a great understanding of it, all right? I've been justified by faith. Wonderful. They don't know what you're talking about. All right? Writing style, write as though you were speaking to a friend rather than giving a formal speech. All right? Be positive from start to finish. Be specific. Give enough details to arouse interest. Be accurate. You better be accurate. You lie on your testimony, it will come out. All right? Include interesting but compelling experiences. Use one or two Bible verses, but only where they relate directly to your experience. I'd be careful with this one. Because a lot of people are trying to fill up 500 words, and they're just going to copy and paste a Bible verse in there. All right? Once again, we're trying to avoid religious terms that's going to throw them off. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did what? He commendeth. What does that mean? Do you see what I'm saying? All right. Now, let's see. Include an attention-grabbing first sentence. Write a closing that provides a finished and logical conclusion. Ask a pastor or trusted Christian mentor to review your testimony to ensure the gospel is communicated through your story and that it speaks to a wide audience. All right? We're trying to relate to people, all right? Ask someone who's qualified, and we're going to do this for you, all right? We're going to help you out with this, all right? Let me give you an example. I'm going to read you mine, all right? So this is what we wrote down. Hello, my name is Robbie. I grew up in and around church. My mother made sure I went every time the doors were open. I was forced to go to church. I went to a very strict church and was taught most of my life that I had to follow a set of rules to please the church and God. I memorized scripture. I even preached messages to my peers, but I was angry and discouraged. I never could live up to all the rules and expectations of the church. I felt unloved by God because I struggled to follow all the rules. I need somebody to help me. If you've ever felt unloved because you couldn't follow the rules in your house, imagine when you're trying to follow a set of rules that's biblical. I felt unloved by God because I struggled to follow all the rules. This made me resent the church and Christians in general. Matter of fact, I couldn't stand the church and eventually walked away from the church and God as a teenager. The anger and discouragement I felt carried over into my life away from church. I wasn't good enough to be a Christian. So I made sure I excelled at being bad. Then someone shared a message with me that changed my life. I learned that I was loved even though I wasn't good enough to follow a set of rules. I learned that it wasn't about rules to be followed, but a personal relationship between God and I wanted that relationship with him. I asked Jesus to forgive me and save me. That day changed my life forever. Let's see, I've lost my place. I'm not perfect at all, but I'm no longer angry because of an impossible set of rules. I live a life of joy instead of discouragement because I've met the one who died for me and who loves me more than anyone else ever has. This relationship has given my life purpose and meaning. I live a fulfilled life and a confident one. I'm no longer scared of my eternity. I know who I've believed and am persuaded that my life with Jesus is better than my life before him. Y'all see how I put a little bit of verse in there and then brought it right? For I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Well, I didn't do that. Did y'all hear it? I said this. I said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that my life with Jesus is better than my life before him. This is my story, but I hope you read the rest of this letter to hear about God's story. See, he loves you too and wants to have a personal relationship with you. Please continue to read and learn how you can have a story of your own. God bless you. Right? Did y'all get that? That's all. Yeah. Hey, they didn't hear about me drunk, passed out in the yard like y'all have heard me tell in testimonies. They didn't hear about Miss Michelle babysitting me and doing all these other things. Did y'all see how that thing went? All right, we're not majoring on the sins of my past. We're just showing how my life was before Christ, how I came to Christ, and my life after. How many of y'all noticed that my life after had a lot? Did y'all notice that? I'm fulfilled. I have purpose. I'm no longer scared. I'm no longer angry. I'm no longer discouraged. I have a relationship. Did y'all hear all that? It was positive after positive after positive after the message. All right? All right, y'all ready? Who said no? Miss Angie was like, hey, listen, you only got 10 minutes, 15 minutes. That's it. All right? We're going to practice. How many of y'all is ready to practice? How many of you is ready to practice? Nobody's ready to practice. Hey, listen, you're only going to get better as you practice. Is there any questions? I know somebody's going to ask a question. And they're like, I don't want to talk. I'll ask a question. Anybody? Yes, sir. What's the best way to begin the process with a total stranger? What's your name? That's the best way. When you're dealing with a total stranger, most people, let's say a drive-through, or maybe your waitress or whatever. Most people that they deal with don't care anything about them. Most people that they deal with are there for a product. Give them their product, they hand you the money, and that's all they want. All right? When you're dealing with a total stranger, for you to say, hey, what's your name? Say again. You think you're going to come across strange? A little bit. I think that's just, do what now? Yeah, I mean, introduce yourself first, but I mean, I don't think you'll come across strange. All right. Right. I've never met anybody that didn't want to tell me their name. And I do think that society has changed, all right? But I don't think that it's 100% gone. What I mean by that is over the last year, 3 years or whatever with COVID, 2 years with COVID, we've been told, we've been desensitized, we've been having all this, people have been private to have somebody that actually takes a genuine interest in you. Man, listen, y'all don't hear these stories, or maybe you do, I don't know, but I'm out on the golf course the other day, and I had a man, he says, he knows I'm a preacher, and he comes over to me, he says, hey man, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. I said, what you got? And he just kind of, I could tell he was wanting to kind of get private, get away from everybody, and so he pulls me over to the side, and he says, hey man, he says, my daughter's boyfriend shot himself yesterday. Man, you know how many people, how many suicides since all this COVID, wearing masks, all this other stuff? We have basically put people, we pushing people away. And I think that society needs to, and I think people need to hear, hey, my name's Robbie. What's your name? What? What? You're not scared you're going to get COVID talking to me? No, we'll be all right. Is everybody okay? Yes, ma'am. Sure. Right. Yeah. Yeah, she says if we pray as we should for the filling of the Holy Spirit, that God will make the crooked path straight. In other words, God will prepare us for those. I think Dan, somebody right in here had a... Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Man, hey, them girls at the Red Owl, they light up when I come driving in. It's crazy. I don't know if it's because I spend so much money there or what. But they're super nice. They're super friendly. I was sitting in line the other day. I don't remember what day it was. I'm sitting in line. All these cars in front of me and everything else. The girl comes walking out with my coffee and hands it to me. Is everybody all right? I just drive out and leave everybody. I'm sitting behind two cars in line, and there's cars behind me, and they just come walking out with my coffee. Do the little machine. I just drive right on through. She said, I seen you sitting out here. I went ahead and brought yours to you. I walked in there today, and she goes, Sean Gay was in there. I said, he's buying mine. And she said, really? And he said, yeah. And she turns around and goes and makes it. I don't even ask me what I want anymore. Sean just looking at me like, really? You said you was going to buy. Amen. Hey, he got stuck buying my coffee. All right. Is everybody all right? People want that. And I go in there. I'm smiling at them. I'm talking to them. They're talking to me. I mean, I don't know that any of them know I'm a preacher. But they sit in there, and every time I come to that window, them girls are going to talk to me. Why? Because people are craving conversation. And so don't be scared of that. Brother Mark, you had your hand up. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Right.
And they love it. They light up. They smile.
Yep.
I also can't stress enough. He's 100% correct. I'm known as a very good tipper. And I've never had bad service.
Yeah.
I've even told them, I'll say, we go to dinner here for us, and I'll say, you want to bring me the check because I'm the best tipper.
Yeah.
And they bring it to
me. They don't ever go to eat with me. I know, that's right. Hey, did you have your hand up? Right. That's awesome. Right. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Right. Yep. I want to bring out two things that he said. Well, several things, all right? So first off, that was awesome because Brother Malcolm did this. Every time we went somewhere, Brother Malcolm did that same thing. So Brother Malcolm, whoever was coming, we'd meet the girl. Let me say this about the waitresses too. Some of these people's got the craziest names. It is a way for you to have a conversation with them, all right? Hey, if Tamika walks up, hey, how do you pronounce that? My name's Tamika. That is a beautiful name. You want to talk about somebody light, their face will light up. Tell me, where did that come from? Well, my mama, Baba, and here they go, all right? But every time Brother Malcolm say, hey, listen here, we're fixing to pray over our meals. There's something we could pray for you about. Man, it was good. It was good. And these people would open up and be like, hey, yeah, if you could, I'm struggling right now. Do this, I'm struggling with that. And, hey, why don't you pray with us? And right there, Brother Malcolm would pray for that individual and our food, and we would before we ate. It was awesome, man. It was awesome. Another thing that he was telling us was about tattoos. You see tattoos on people all the time. Every tattoo has a story. It has a story behind it, all right? Man, I'd love a tattoo, but I can't commit to anything. Is everybody all right? And so if I ever have a tattoo, there's going to be a story behind it. Is everybody with me? But everyone that has one, there is a story behind it. You want to have a conversation with them? Ask them about it. The little girl that was helping us, she had a tattoo, and it was, I can't remember what it was now. I want to say it was a lion. She had a tattoo of a lion on her arm. And Brother Malcolm asked her, he said, tell me about that tattoo. And she said, my mother, that was her mother's zodiac sign, Leo, I guess it was, all right? And it had the dates on it and everything else. Her mama had died. And she had put that on there. It was and her mama had died. And, of course, now you're right into attitude, right? And can we pray with you? Just like that. We were praying for this girl, and it was through just a conversation through a tattoo. Now, one more thing that Brother Mike brought up, he was struggling to remember all the specifics about the girl. Now, you remembered a bunch of them, but this is just something that I wanted to share. Learn to take your phone out and type in the information, all right? Say she comes up to you, man, it's going to be a hard time remembering that lady's name. But she comes up to you, and you ask her name, and she says it's Sharon. Type in Sharon into your phone. Is everybody with me? You're typing it in, you're saying it, there's a better chance of you remembering it, all right? And then if she does share some information, like her mother passed away or her, you know, whatever, put that in there. And are we learning to care about people? Yeah. Then we're going to have to do it intentionally. How many of you know that? Amen. We got to do it intentionally. Yeah. All right. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yeah. I will tell you this, stay out of politics. Ain't nobody wants to talk about it, especially you're not going to get to a point. It is on most people's mind. So if you go down that rabbit hole, you're going to be there. We want to avoid that. We want to avoid that, all right? Right. Right. That's right. And once again, we must know when to walk away. in a situation like that. If it goes to that, and a lot of people, that's all that's on their mind, and they're going to go to it, all right? Try to get them away from it. If they won't get away from it, learn to walk away. So it just ain't worth having the conversation. Ain't nothing we can do to change it except go vote. All right. Right. I mean, that's tough when they don't have, when somebody's on oxygen and they can hardly talk to you or anything else. To have that conversation with somebody outside of that environment or somebody that could talk to me for a few minutes, I would ask them, do they get to go to church somewhere or what their religious background is. From their religious background, a lot of times you're going to be able to tell whether or not they're saved, all right? They may tell you, hey, I grew up in a Catholic church. Chances are they're not saved. All right. Not because Catholic Church is bad, blah, 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 blah. We hate the Catholic Church and the denomination, this, that, and the other, but they believe completely different than that Bible when it comes to salvation. All right. So you know just a little bit of a background by hey, what's your religious background or something of that nature? And that may lead into, tell me about your salvation experience. All right. Are you saved? Tell me about your salvation experience. Well, I prayed when I was 5 years old. Well, tell me about your salvation experience. Well, I prayed a prayer when I was 5 years old. Well, how did that change your life? Right? And listen, I'm not against anybody that's been saved when they was 5 years old. All right? Praise God for it. But what I want to hear is, hey, I know that I'm saved. I want to know they know that they're saved. I don't want somebody hanging on to I'm saved based off of something they did, they prayer, this side or the other. I want to know, hey, listen, you can take me back. I can take you to the place, all right? Now, I ain't saying you got to take them to the place. I'm just saying I can take you to the place where my life changed, all right? And that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that. I remember one guy telling me one time he went to a concert. And it was so good. The Spirit was moving and people were crying and we all went up on the stage and they prayed a prayer over all of us. And man, that was the night I got saved. Do what? I'm telling you, that was literally the conversation. That was what he told me. So I shared the gospel. This is what I do. Will you mind if I share a couple of verses with you? And I went through the plan of salvation with him. I walked out of that house leaving the door open. The next morning, they come to church. Right before church, they're looking at Sheldon going, I need to be saved. Just tell me your salvation experience. Anybody else got any questions? Apparently, I've turned my alarm off because it should have done went off, all right? Did you have a question, brother? Absolutely. Yeah. Let me change your mindset on a tip. This is your blessing to them. Forget about what they did to you. This is your blessing to them. That's that exactly. And with the way things are right now, they're completely understaffed. They're working as hard as they can. If somebody messes up back there, you take it out on somebody that had absolutely nothing to do with it. Turn that thing around. This is my blessing to you. This is my blessing to you. Anybody else? All right, we got to go. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I want you to practice on somebody on the way out. Secular, home life, attitude, religion, eternal life. All right, even if you have to do it out in the parking lot, on the phone, whatever, okay? Is everybody with me? Hey, we're only going to get better at this is if we practice, all right? Come Wednesday night. Hey, listen, make sure you get one of these sheets, all right? If you've already written out your testimony, then get it to me. Somehow or another, say you already got it to me. Is that what some people are telling me? Yes, I've already gotten some of y'all's. All right, if not, get them to us so we can look them over and help you get to your goal of 500 words or less and putting it in a way that people can see that your life has changed. All right? Everybody good? Any questions? All hearts and minds? All right, y'all go out them two double doors right there, and they got the papers ready, and they'll hand them out to you going out that way, all right? Anybody got any questions? We all done? Hey, visitors, thank y'all for being with us tonight. And I shared my story. I hope we all have that story. Something similar. If you don't, then stay behind and talk to me. I'd love to share my story with you again and get a chance to show you how you can have the same story, all right? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and God, we are thankful for an opportunity to come to church. Lord, I pray that you would take these things that we're learning. Lord, help us to apply them to our life. Lord, let us take this 21-day challenge seriously. Lord, wake up every morning and pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit and pray for Bob. And Lord, I pray that you give us opportunities, Lord, to share our story with others.